Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
The Dan Bernstein Show. Weekdays 9 a.m. to noon on Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Right, it's a high fly ball deep left field. This ball is back toward the wall. It's got a chance. Gone. The wrist is fine, thank you. And the Cubs lead 5-1.
1-9, it seems like there's not really a letdown, in our lineup. I mean, I can't really remember a time, playing for this team where it was really like that. Whereas 1-9, there was just damage all through the order. So I think it shows in our record and in the baseball that we're playing right now too. Just everything right now, everybody's clicking.
That's Chris Bryant going deep and then talking about this lineup 1-9. The Cubs are 12-3, 15 games into a theoretical 60-game season. I can do that math. I can finally do some fractional math. Let's welcome in to The Score, Russ Dorsey, who covers the Cubs for the Chicago Sun-Times. Joins us right now on the Alpamonte Ford Hotline. Alpamonte Ford is in Melrose Park. It's Matt Spiegel. In for Dan Bernstein yesterday, today, and tomorrow right here on The Score. Good morning, Russ. What's up?
Hey, Speed. How you doing, my friend?
I'm good, man. It's nice to be able to do some fractional math. I don't have to do even the 2.7 thing right now. I can just take 15 and extrapolate to 30, no problem. 48-12 sounds pretty good. I don't know if they'll keep that up, but what's the most games somebody's going to win this year? 40? Somebody's going to go 40-20. Why not the Cubs?
There's some, I was kind of concerned, and I think we've talked about this before, the quality of baseball that we would get coming into this season after having the short ramp up in summer camp. But I've been really surprised at the level of competition and the level of play and the quality of play we've seen so far through the first 3 weeks of the season. Like, we've seen some really good baseball. We've seen some offensive onslaughts. We've seen guys like Fernando Tatis Jr., take that superstar status and run with it. We've seen teams like the Cubs, who people thought were done and old and bad, come out and be the best team in baseball. And so I think it's really good for the game after, a rough couple of months with the negotiations and then overlooking health and safety protocols and then two teams having outbreaks. But I think it's something we asked Jed earlier this week. He thinks there's a lot of great things that are happening in the game, and you look around baseball, there are. So hopefully teams like the Cardinals can be healthy and start to try to play games, and then we can keep this thing rolling.
Yeah, they haven't played in August. Seems to me you want to try and get some games going.
At least one
in August.
Game, right?
Yeah, at least just one, maybe three. But you take it to the macro, you go big picture, and it's a good point. Like, I try not to be a prisoner of the moment, although this medium of sports radio really kind of demands it at times. Right. But, man, that was a really ugly moment for a long time there in June and July for baseball amidst the world. Baseball was looking bad. And I remember having the conversation with people saying, well, the game is usually good enough that it brings you back. It's usually beautiful enough that it restores your optimism and restores your faith in the sport and stuff like that. It has been for me. As you bring it up, it has been. It's been, there's stuff, there are highlights every day. Every morning I look at whether it's Denelson Lamet striking out 10 or 11 for San Diego, whether it's, you know, it's Miguel Sano hitting a home run so far that nobody knows where it landed. They don't know what happened to it. They think it just disappeared. Absolutely. Like there's stuff every day that is powerful. I guess we should not have been surprised that the Cubs come back from a 4-day break as intense and solid as they did, because that's the way they hit summer camp. That's the way they hit opening day. Hell, that's the way they hit March. It's been consistently on point. Why do you think so? What's the big picture as to why they are as consistently on point every step of this weird-ass year that they have been?
I asked Chris Bryant that last night. He talked about preparation a lot when talking about how he gets through his day, how he prepares for games and series and even the season. And they, as a whole, talk about preparation a lot as a team. So he actually surprised me with his answer. He said it was weird going through last week. It was weird not knowing if they were going to play or not. Then it was weird having 3 days off and then an off day where you have this long stretch where you're not playing games. You're not having quote unquote live ABs against other teams where the intensity is ramped up. But he said they've gotten comfortable with changing on the fly. And he thinks that's been really beneficial for them staying sharp and staying locked in, because they haven't been able to do their normal routines. They haven't been able to do, all right, I'm going to wake up every day. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do this. I'm going to get this, go to the ballpark, done. He said, you have to cut some corners. You have to skip some steps. And because of that, it makes you that much more focused when you get to the ballpark to do your thing. All those guys, and I've written about it a couple times, when they get to the ballpark, they are with Andy Green, right? When you get to the ballpark, they're doing their infield. They're with Will Venable doing outfield, Craig Driver, and they're getting their work in when they can, because obviously with protocols, they're not going to be at the ballpark 5, 6, 7 hours before a game now. So they've been really good about getting their work in, making sure they get their whatever type of routine they can get in, even if it's not the one they usually do. And Chris Bryant feels like that's been the thing that's helped drive them so far. Like, they've gotten comfortable with being uncomfortable, and it shows with the type of baseball that they're playing right now.
They are 12-3. That is tied for the second most wins in baseball. The Oakland A's have 13 wins, 13-6, but the Cubs are only tied for second because they had to cancel those three games. those games got canceled. They'll have a chance to get those back. Tell people the many different responsibilities of Andy Green, the former Padres manager, the bench coach that seemed sort of forced onto David Ross. Like, it's kind of the one guy that Theo and Jed were like, you know, we want you to have this guy. What does he do? He does a lot of things for a lot of different people.
He's done a ton for them. So he is the bench coach for the Cubs. He's also their infield coach. So a lot of people remember Brian Butterfield, who was Joe Madden's third base coach and infield coach. And we had talked to Javi Baez before yesterday's game, and he was saying that, you know, Greeny has been really big for them. And the more, you know, you talk to David Bodie, you talk to David Ross, you talk to Chris Bryant, they talk about how Andy Green has really helped them on the defensive end. And especially, as Javi said yesterday, with their positioning. So he said they're doing some things this year, positioning-wise, that they hadn't done in the past. And that wasn't a shot to Butter, wasn't a shot to the Madden regime or anything like that. But they're just trying some different things as far as positioning goes. And it's helped jumps. It's helped them get to balls that they might not normally get to. And if you talk about the tandem of him and Will Venable, Will was here last year, but having Will with Andy Green now, that you can tell that they're putting some things together where they're putting players in the best position to turn bad balls in play into outs. And if we talk about that, you know, I don't love talking about the 2016 when compared to this team, just because this year is so weird. I don't know if you can really do it, but if we want to go in there, the 2016 team was historic in the turning bad balls in play into outs. And if you look at this team, they're doing that. You know, whether it's Chris Bryant in left, Kyle Schwarber in left, Nico Horner at second, Jason Kipnis at second, Javi the mainstay at short, Anthony Rizzo the mainstay at first base. Like, these guys are, you know, getting out. And it's really helped the pitching staff, who's also been the engine that's helped them through this hot start. So I think that's been a big key. You know, people are looking at the starting pitching, but that defense has really helped them get to where they are right now.
How do you not look to 2016? You got Ross back as your manager. He's got the W flag that flew at Wrigley after they won the World Series in his office at Wrigley. They're there in Cleveland on a Tuesday night and a Wednesday night winning baseball games the last 2 days. I mean, Jason Kipnis is, I mean, it just is. But that's okay to think about that because, Russ, that team had what we're seeing now. And that's what you have to shoot for. It's difficult to replicate it and do it every day in every game. But that team was locked in on every pitch and every at-bat and energetic as hell and making pitchers pay from 1 through 9 doing damage. That team was defensively doing what you're talking about. That team had an internal competition among starting pitchers that kind of happens when guys are as good as they are, like Arrieta and Hendricks and Lester trying to top each other day after day after day. Those are good things to aspire to, regardless of whether fans or media get tired of it being discussed. That's a good standard to aspire to, right?
I understand. And you're correct. There's definitely some things when you talk about the leadership on this club, the defense, all those things. I'm going to give you my Theo Epstein line. Each year is its own set of circumstances and its own set of things that is different than any other year. And if there's a year where that's true more than any other, it's 2020. But I respect and appreciate your opinion on that, sir. You are correct.
Well, thanks for the respect and the appreciation. That's rare in this world.
You are correct.
All right, so you mentioned Javi Baez talking before the game. I want people to hear this. This is Javi talking about his childhood friend, Francisco Lindor. They played in the same All-Star team as teammates, where Baez played third and Lindor played shortstop in 2010. They have somewhat famously spent time together way back when. I know Lindor spent a Thanksgiving with Javi's family, you know, and they go back and have very similar lineages, and now here they are both as stars. And Javi talked about that before the game. Listen to this, people.
I don't know. I think you know, they compare us a lot, you know, in a country with Lindor, Correa, and you know, all these great shortstop. But you know, I think if we talk about the best shortstop in the games, you know, we up there. But you know, he's a complete player, just like me. Story, you know, you can name it, but you know, I believe he's the best shortstop in, you know, in the game right now from our generation. You know, I've been playing second and short, but you know, a lot of people love the way he plays, but you know, I believe he's the best. But I believe in myself too, you know. He's the best, but I'm a mago, you know, so give it to me.
That's the greatest. I just had to get to the end. He's the best,
but I'm a mago, you know.
So. Oh, come on, man. That must be nice to be able to refer to yourself as the magic man, as the magician, and have nobody bat an eye, just have people say, yep, that's true.
I think the most awesome part about that, Speed, was what people should go online and look at Jordan Bastion's clip of it, because I'm on the Zoom trying not to laugh. And it wasn't until he got to the end and he points and says, he's the best, but I'm a mago. And he points to the camera and smiles like, come on, you know I'm right. You know I'm right. And it was just awesome. And I think, you know how good you have to be to say somebody else is the best and give that praise like that, but also say, oh, but I'm good too. I might be better than that too. Like, that is awesome. And I think that is one of the reasons Javi Baez is the most exciting player in the game. Like, other people can't say stuff like that. Everybody, it was on Twitter yesterday, everybody's like, nope, he's right. Like, that's how that works out.
We got it pretty good right now. I know we had a run, you know, when I was a kid, and Frank Thomas and Mark Grace are your first baseman in this town. It's like, man, that's pretty good. And then Derek Lee and Paul Konerko. Man, that's pretty good. Right now, look at the shortstops in this town. Yep. Look at the attitude and swag and performance. And today we got Javi Baez going, he's the best, but I'm El Mago. And Ray Diaz, what do we have Tim Anderson saying today, yesterday? actually, after the game. Got Tim Anderson saying, I'm the Energizer Bunny, baby. You know?
It's awesome, right? Pretty good. And this is we're in really good shape. You're right. In Chicago baseball, and if both teams can put something special together this year, I think that goes a long way. And not only what these teams look like next year and in 5 years into the future, but if you think of broad scope, the fan bases, how many young fans out there who are at school from home, who are getting to watch baseball when they normally wouldn't. I think that's huge. And you talk about growing the game. Rob Manfred, you want to grow the game? Well, you bring attention to guys like El Mago and Tim Anderson and Luis Robert and Chris Bryant and Tony Two Chains, as they like to call him now. You bring attention to those guys, and I think it can go a long way in building fans, not only here in Chicago, but across the states.
Energizer Bunny, baby. Russell Dorsey, Bunny, the same times. Is with us right here on 670 The Score. All right, tell people about the Two Chains. Those belong to Andy Green as well. Do all roads go back to Andy Green? Where do these come from, these chains?
I have no – that's the weird part. Like, watching the game, and it's like, where did Andy Rizzo get these chains from? But apparently wanted to wear them for morale and whatever, like helped him help the team get going. And, you know, guy hits a rocket homer. So I'm expecting us to see Tony Two Chains back at Wrigley tonight. If we don't, I'd be a little disappointed.
Yeah, I would think we will. I don't know why, where I heard that they were from Andy Green. Maybe I'm just have Andy Green on the brain, as you do from time to time. Reminds me of the turnover chain that the University of Miami rocked a couple years ago. You force a turnover, you get to wear a chain. Maybe this should move its way around. Like, didn't the White Sox have a belt for a while? I know they had a sex belt.
Didn't they have the Homer chain too?
Yeah, they had the Homer chain. That's right. Yeah. That's right. So maybe there's a limited amount of jewelry options that you can actually do this with, but chains is. I thought Rizzo looked pretty good. I thought he made that.
No, I think it worked for Anthony quite well there. And so, and if it gives you the nickname Tony Two Chains, like I think you can let that rock for a little bit.
Man, all right. There's a lot of good stuff going on with this team right now. I hope they keep it going. I think baseball is relentless, though. I don't think baseball is going anywhere. There's concerns about football, and understandably so. And college football died yesterday. Don't tell Nebraska. But baseball, owners, man, they're going to get their postseason. When you guys talk amongst media on the Zooms, you know, once guys are done, or when you guys are chatting about stuff, do you believe that you're going to be going somewhere to a bubble to be covering the postseason?
I do. I wrote about it, I think it was 2 days ago. You know, when baseball and the Players Association were talking back and forth about getting a deal done to return, baseball already had a deal done with Turner for over $1 billion. To air playoff games. So if there's one reason why this thing's going to get done, despite all the virus, all the outbreaks within the sport, it's because of that. Like, they're not going to let any of that postseason revenue money slip by. So if it's for that reason alone, Matt Spiegel, I think there's going to be a bubble postseason type of thing.
Yeah, the whole thing, the whole endeavor is about making sure the postseason happens and that money comes in. So they'll make sure to do it. They're gonna have to get the players to agree to it, though, you know. But
yeah,
but perhaps they will.
We should, you know, it's. I think that's the one thing that you can hold over and be like a hat, like the carrot. Like, look, playoff revenue. Come on, we'll split this up, and you can get some, and it'll be okay. But yeah, it's one of those things where the rest of the schedule could be completely gone. And if they could get some type of playoff action, especially with the expanded playoff this year, they would do it.
He's Russell Dorsey. Read him at the Chicago Sun-Times. Thanks, man. Pleasure talking to you, as always, Russ.
Thanks, Speedy. I appreciate it.
What up, y'all? It's your boy Danny Green, 3-time NBA champ. You either rooted for me or rooted against me. Join myself and my co-host Harrison Sanford on the Inside the Green Room podcast.
It's a podcast that brings you never-before-told tales from the locker room to candid interviews with basketball legends to breakdowns of what's happening in the NBA right now. Whether you're a diehard fan or casual about your hoops, this podcast brings you the game like never before.
follow Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.